Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning.
If it pleases the Court, Jonathan Fink, Wright, Finley & Zak on behalf of Federal National Mortgage Association. I am splitting time with co-appellant Freddie Mac and would like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal on my portion of the argument.
So how much time are you leaving to the other side?
We're splitting evenly the 7.5 minutes each of us, and I'm reserving of my 7.5, 3, in case there's any rebuttal needed.
Are you taking 4.5 to open?
I think I'll need less than that, Your Honors.
All right.
Unless Your Honors have questions, of course. There are just 3 issues here, Your Honors. The issue that first must concern us is whether or not this order is indeed appealable. And it is absolutely clear, as set forth in our briefs, that this is in fact an appealable remand order. This is not a remand order that was based on subject matter jurisdiction. It did not fall under 1447C. The court's order was quite specific in that regard. The second issue is whether or not, since this was not based upon subject matter jurisdiction, the remand order was, in fact, an order the court could issue sua sponte. In this instance, the court, without any advance warning, without notice or opportunity to be heard to Fannie Mae, as part of another order, remanded this case to state court more than 30 days after the time for remand had already lapsed. There was no motion for remand.
Is there a subtext to this? Did the judge get mad at you?
I don't think so, Your Honor. I don't think the
Did
judge
he get
has...
sort of sick of you and say, go back to state court?
I don't believe that was at all the case. I don't believe Judge Reel had any thought in his mind other than waiver. I don't believe there was any animus. I don't believe there was any agenda other than, as he read the RTC versus Bayside case, he thought there was a waiver, which is our third issue. We don't get there, of course, if the district court lacked the right to sua sponte remand, which it did in this instance. But let's assume that the court had made a timely remand order. The third issue of waiver simply is a case of the district court misreading RTC versus Bayside. A waiver must be knowing and intentional. Here we had an instance where the judge based his remand order on the fact that there were UD actions which had been filed and which were then dismissed subsequent to the bringing of the class action. Once the class action got filed, it was removed to federal court. The UD action was dismissed. The UD action never went to judgment. And under the case law cited in the briefs, there was absolutely no knowing or intentional waiver of the right
to
remove
it. When you say UD, you're talking about unlawful detainer?
Yes, Your Honor, my
apologies. Let me ask you a question. You couldn't file an unlawful detainer action in federal court because it doesn't exist.
Correct, Your Honor.
All right, so that's my problem with the waiver argument, that how could you waive something that you couldn't have done in the first place?
And indeed, that was one of the arguments we raised in our motion for reconsideration to Judge Reel, and he simply said, no, you waived it by filing the UD action, even though you did not pursue it to judgment.
But wasn't the timing of it also, too, that once you got removed to federal court, then you dismissed it? But so you filed the UD before the class action was removed to federal court, right?
We filed the UD action before there was a class action.
So if you had, let's say if you had filed the UD after the class action had been filed and removed to federal court, might the argument be somewhat stronger?
It still wouldn't matter because the case law is absolutely clear under Kelton Arms, for example, that you have to go beyond simply filing an action. You have to take the action through to, in essence, judgment. You have to make that election that I don't want to be in federal court. And since the UD action is separate from the class action, you could never make that determination as to the class action. We would have had to have done something when the class action was filed in state court to indicate waiver. He could not properly base it on a separate UD action. Other than that, unless Your Honors have any questions, I have nothing else to add other than what's in our papers.
Thank you.
I'll turn over to Freddie Mac's counsel.
Good morning. May it please the Court, my name is Mark Landman. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. Just very quickly, I think this case demonstrates the problem when a district judge ignores this Court's decision in Kelton. This Court made it very clear that unless you're talking about subject matter jurisdiction, the Court should not be remanding a case sua sponte. And certainly this Court has repeatedly said, I think California Natural Resources and Kelton, that it has to be within 30 days. In this case, the Court remanded a case but did not have any question that the Court had subject matter jurisdiction. The vast majority of the appellee's brief is devoted to arguing this, that the Court found that it did not have jurisdiction, subject matter jurisdiction. That's absolutely not correct. On May 17th, June 2nd as well, 2010, both times the Court made repeated statements recognizing that he knew he had jurisdiction over Freddie Mac. That's at the record, the excerpt record at 18, at 20, 15, 23, 24 to 27, and 28. Nor could he. Our statute is quite clear. Not only can Freddie Mac remove a case up until the time of trial, but it can remove a case when it's a party, not even if it's only a defendant. It can remove a case as a plaintiff. Now, therefore, the issue in this case is simple. Can the Court, sua sponte, remand a case when it has subject matter jurisdiction, and can it do so more than 30 days after? And the reason the 30 days, this Court held in Kelton, it can't do it at all, whether it's within 30 days or not. But in this case, this shows you why the 30-day rule is so important. In this case, the remand order came almost 6 months after this case was removed to federal court. On June 7, 2010, it was remanded. If you look at the docket, which is in the at the end of the excerpted record, there's 100 entries. So what happened is there were motions filed. There was an amended complaint, a motion dismissed that was granted, then an amended complaint. Then there were motions on that. And then, Your Honor, I don't know what happened below, but if the Court were to allow this to happen, a judge could get mad at the parties. A judge could be bored with the case. A judge could decide that they have more important things to do. That's what Kelton says you cannot do.
Is there anything novel about this case, or is it just an application of existing precedent?
Absolutely nothing novel about this case on all three points, jurisdiction, on the issue of whether the Court had authority to do this, and on the issue of waiver. There's just a ton of cases. Let me address the issue of waiver, because with regard to Freddie Mac, we had an unlawful detainer action that we brought. We didn't even name Mr. Cruz in that. He apparently was an illegal tenant. We didn't find out about him until April 2010, long after we had removed this case, but we had an unlawful detainer action pending with regard to this property. And immediately we did dismiss that after he moved to intervene. But the Baker versus Firestone case, Bradley, Grubb, Rothner from the Seventh Circuit, Hinks, Lucarelli, McKnight, all stand for the proposition that that is completely irrelevant to this action, which seeks, among other things, punitive damages, compensatory damages, constructive business and professional code of California, the Unfair Business Practice Act, negligence, has nothing to do with unlawful detainer actions, which is simply to get possession of the property, in which there cannot even be a cross-claim or a counterclaim. Unless there's any questions, I'll reserve my time. Thank you.
I guess I have a question. I'm wondering if there's anything novel or different about the class action, the period of class action.
Your Honor, it just strengthens our argument, because obviously that makes it even more unrelated to an unlawful detainer, which is a summary proceeding and very limited and strictly.
I think we're asking the question more from the standpoint of publication.
Oh, I apologize. First of all, what the Court ultimately decided is that there really wasn't a basis for class action. And when he issued his first motion to dismiss months before. They never moved for class certification.
He never got to class certification.
And what he specifically said is, in the first complaint, he said, I can't tell who this is against. I don't think there's a basis for class. And what he actually ruled, and that's one of the many times he ruled, and that was back in March, he basically said that Cruz, Mr. Cruz, only has a complaint against Freddie Mac.
Right. And there's a motion for judicial notice in this case?
Yeah, just because to put the docket in with regard to the unlawful detainer action to show what happened. And that has already been granted by the court.
Okay. We already granted that. All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning.
Paul Katranak on behalf of both Jose Mendoza and Anthony Cruz. And I'd like to address one point right off the bat with the court saying, is there a novel issue here? There's definitely a novel issue. In this situation, there's a clash between local rent control ordinances. There are local ordinances of the city of Los Angeles concerning rent control, concerning when you can evict somebody, when you can't evict somebody, what you have to do, and policies of multi-billion dollar behemoths that are throwing poor people out of their home.
Well, I think the novel, my reason for it is, I mean, we're dealing with whether the court could sua sponte do what it did. And is that just applying existing precedent, or is there something unusual about the facts in this case here? Because we're talking, you know, when you look at 1447D and 1447C, we're just applying it here.
I apologize, Your Honor. I thought maybe the issue was...
Yeah,
was something
no, not about case. Your case itself.
With regards to...
We're talking about whether a court can just sua sponte decide after the 30 days have gone by, you're out of here.
Yes, Your Honor. In this situation, the court can. Because the court made a determination there was no jurisdiction. There's no subject matter jurisdiction.
I thought the court found that there was subject matter jurisdiction.
No, the court wasn't sure with regards to Freddie Mac. And when it was pointed out that Freddie Mac had filed unlawful detainer actions, then the court said, I have no jurisdiction. The court did not make a finding based on procedural grounds. The court made a finding based on no subject matter jurisdiction. Now, if that decision is
not
correct...
Not what it said. It said it made its decision based on waiver.
Yes, Your Honor. It said waiver at one point based on the Resolute Trust decision. But the court repeatedly said jurisdiction. The court said, I do not have jurisdiction to hear this.
Because of waiver.
Because of waiver.
And not for any other reason.
That's true, Your Honor. The court said it was based on waiver, but it said, I do not have subject matter jurisdiction. Now, based on the United States versus Kirchner, the latest Supreme Court decision on this type of issue, it doesn't matter if the determination is correct or incorrect by the district court judge. If the judge made the determination that he did not have jurisdiction and remanded, case closed, and it's not appealable. And the reason why is because this case has been pending in state court for a year and a half now. There's been multiple motions, a ton of litigation in state court while this appeal has been pending.
Okay. Aside from waiver, what is your understanding of the grounds for subject matter jurisdiction in this case? I mean, how was this case removed? On the basis of what?
This case was removed based on the statute, the federal statute. Both Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae have statutory protection that they're supposed to be in federal court. I would submit the reason for that, Your Honors, is when there is a dispute between financial institutions, because both Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are in the secondary market. So they're not generally going to be in a position where they're dealing with poor people in the city of Los Angeles when they're in litigation. They're generally in a position where there's a fight between Bank of America and Fannie Mae.
But the statute says if they're a party, that federal courts have jurisdiction.
That is correct, Your Honor.
Okay. Well, it doesn't really matter what the purpose for enacting that is if the statute is clear.
That is correct, Your Honor. The one other point I would like to raise with regards to this situation is that I would submit that this appeal is moot because it's already been remanded to state court. State court has jurisdiction on this matter. The district court judge remanded the action back to state court in July of 2010. The state court clerk took jurisdiction of this case in July of 2010, a year and a half ago.
Have there been proceedings in state court?
Yes, there have been multiple proceedings in state court. Now, the remedy, if they wanted to appeal this situation, I would submit, Your Honor, was they should have first applied to the district judge for a stay of proceedings, stay of the remand. because we want to appeal. You have to stay this remand because we will lose jurisdiction. The federal courts will lose jurisdiction when it's just remanded. They didn't go to the district judge to stay the remand. And if the district judge would have denied their request for a stay, then they should have submitted a petition to the Ninth Circuit to stay the remand. This case is now in state court. The federal courts no longer have jurisdiction over this case.
Well, you want to be in state court. They want to be in federal court, and the statute says they have a right to remove. So, I mean, our issue is just whether we can review when a judge sua sponte after the 30 days decides to kick something back. And where there does appear to be subject matter jurisdiction. Now, you haven't, when you say it's moot, you haven't gone to trial yet, right?
No, we have not gone to trial yet, Your Honor.
And trial's a lot different in federal court than in state court. You don't have to get a unanimous verdict there, and in federal court you do, right?
That is correct, Your Honor.
So, but we can't concern ourselves with what both of your, we just have to look at the statutes. We just have to look at the law. We can't concern ourselves with the motivations of either side in terms of tactics.
I would submit, Your Honor, it was the tactics. Yes, we prefer being in state court. That is true, but it was not a tactical decision by any means.
No, you didn't do it. It wasn't. The judge just came up with this.
Yes. Well, we had another issue, Your Honor, where for what it's worth, and it was pointed out in the papers, that there are other class actions pending against other financial institutions. And there are currently pending 9 other class actions based on the same conduct as Freddie Mae and Fannie Mae.
Violating the same L.A. city ordinances?
Yes, Your Honor. Yes, Your Honor.
Those have to be consolidated?
They are not technically consolidated. They're related and they're coordinated by Judge Burrell at CCW right now.
CCW?
Central Civil West. I apologize, Your Honor.
Okay.
I apologize.
So you're saying there's 9 other class actions proceeding in the state courts?
That involve exactly the same issues, involve interpreting local ordinances of the city of Los Angeles and local issues. I mean, this case really is about local ordinances and local issues.
Well, were the parties there entitled to remove? Did they have the same statute that these two do?
No, they did not, Your Honor.
All right. I don't have any further questions.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning again, Your Honors. Jonathan Fink for Fannie Mae. The order that the court issued remanding this is very specific. It does 2 things. The first thing it does is it throws out the cases against the other non-federal entity defendants and says those have to be filed in state court as separate actions against each one. And this is an exact quote from
You're representing Freddie Mae and Fannie Mac?
I just represent Fannie Mae.
Okay. And who's representing those other defendants?
A multitude of other attorneys represent the non-federal entities.
And one of them is here. Isn't that appropriate for him to be making this argument?
No, Your Honor, if I might
have a moment. You want to make the argument on their behalf?
I'm not arguing on behalf of the non-federal entities.
Okay.
I'm only arguing on behalf of Fannie Mae.
I thought you were saying that he shouldn't have thrown the others out.
Oh, gosh, no, Your Honor.
You're not making that argument.
I'm not making that argument.
I'm sorry. I misunderstood your argument.
My apologies.
So is this moot, like he said?
Not at all, Your Honor. What the court needs to know about the state court action is this. They are still at the pleading stage. They are on their what they're calling their 4th amended complaint. By my count, it's actually their 5th. There's a demurrer hearing on that this Friday. They have not advanced in all this time past the pleading stage. There has been no class certification. The cases are not consolidated.
I just don't see how we can go either here nor there on that anyway, anyhow. I mean, our issue is just on Judge Real.
Absolutely. And
on that issue, did Judge Real say there was a lack of jurisdiction?
Not at all.
When he decided to remand?
This is an exact quote from his June 2, 2010 order. As such, this court lacks subject matter jurisdiction over claims other than those asserted by Anthony Cruz, that's the claim against Freddie, and Jose Mendoza, that's the claim against Fannie. The court could not have been clearer that he was not making his decision based upon a lack of subject matter jurisdiction.
Wait, I thought you said he lacked subject jurisdiction other than against...
Other than against...
Fannie and Freddie.
Correct.
Okay, so he did say that as to Fannie and Freddie, he lacked subject matter jurisdiction.
No, Your Honor. He said there's no subject matter jurisdiction against the non-federal entities.
Right.
As to Fannie and Freddie, he said there is.
I thought there was a lack, I thought. A lack of subject matter jurisdiction.
No, only as to the non-federal defendants.
Read the sentence.
The sentence is, as such, this court lacks subject matter jurisdiction over claims other than those asserted by Anthony Cruz and Jose Mendoza.
Other than against Fannie and Freddie.
So what he's saying is that for the...
Lack subject jurisdiction over defendants other than Fannie and Freddie.
Correct.
In other words, he lacks subject jurisdiction as to Fannie and Freddie.
No, Your Honor.
No? All right.
There were 10, roughly, defendants. As to 8 of the defendants, the non-federal ones, he said there's no subject matter jurisdiction. As to the 2 federal ones, he said, those are the ones we have subject matter jurisdiction, but I'm finding waiver.
So the other banks, presumably there was no diversity jurisdiction?
I don't believe they raised it as one of the grounds, so I don't know that the judge actually passed on diversity. But the judge's ruling was that there was no subject matter jurisdiction as to those other 8.
They didn't appeal.
They did not appeal. And the case law is very clear that waiver is not subject matter jurisdiction. Even the RTC versus Bayside development case upon which respondent relies makes that clear. And that's the case Judge Reel relied on as well. It's even clearer from cases such as Clorax versus United States District Court cited in our briefs, and in Cogdale versus Wyeth, also cited in our briefs. Waiver is a separate basis unrelated to subject matter jurisdiction.
I don't have the statute in front of me right now, but does the statute make the federal courts the exclusive forum for actions against Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac?
There are 2 different statutes, actually. I won't speak to the Freddie statute, which is separate. I'll allow co-counsel to address that.
You've used all his time.
Why don't you just answer my question?
I believe the Freddie statute is one that does give them the right to removal regardless. As to Fannie, I'm more comfortable speaking. Fannie, it's not exclusive jurisdiction, it's concurrent.
So it's a right to remove.
That's correct.
But it confers jurisdiction, so concurrent jurisdiction.
Correct.
Thank you, counsel.
Any other questions, Your Honors? Thank you, Your Honors.
May I have 1 minute?
Yes.
Thank you. Appellee's counsel stated to this court that the court below found that it did not have subject matter jurisdiction as to Freddie Mac. That is wrong. On page of excerpt of record 2, what the court said, Freddie Mac has therefore abandoned its right to a federal forum. In this case, is hereby remanded to state court for further proceedings. And then on excerpt of record 9, what the court said during the argument, Freddie Mac has abandoned its right to a federal forum, in this case is remanded. I already gave this court all the excerpts in the record. It's a 300-page record. There's not one place where this district court said there was no subject matter jurisdiction. It would fly in the face of Freddie Mac's clear statute. And the answer to your question, Your Honor, it's not exclusive jurisdiction, but it's a unique statute because it lets Freddie Mac remove a case, even, for example, if it was a counterclaim defendant, because it can, in a plaintiff, it's any party. And as the Supreme Court said in Quackenbush, federal court has an unflagging duty to exercise jurisdiction given by Congress. There couldn't be clearer language than our removal statute. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, let me ask you one question.
Absolutely, Your Honor. I apologize.
What is your claim that Judge Rios said he lacked jurisdiction?
Your Honor, I recall in the record that he said that he did not have jurisdiction. I don't have the cite in front of me. I do recall him saying that.
All right. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you very much.
The case just argued will be submitted.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Your Honor. Thank you.
Court will stand in recess for the day. Thank you.